Mr. Hayreel, 13. We were talking about your time in Greece when you arrived in early December. Did they actually attack you at all in your positions in the Acropolis?
Not directly at the Acropolis, because by that time there was some about fighting down in the street, and of course, Athens was a huge place, so it was difficult to pinpoint where the trouble was.
Who was the fighting between then?
The Elas, the guerrilla movement, who we had been supporting in Greece against the Germans, supplying with weapons, and they had just been working their time until the Germans were through, and but they were intent on taking over.
Who were they actually fighting?
Who they had? At that stage, they were against the British troops coming in, because they had just got rid of the Germans.
I see that, but which British troops were they fighting in the town? If you were up on the Acropolis and they weren't fighting you, who were they?
The 23rd Brigade, I think. There was only a brigade of infantry.
So they were attacking British troops in the town?
Yes.
So you moved to the seaport, that's Piraeus, I suppose.
Yes. And again, things got worse, and we were spread along the seafront for our own protection, because there seemed to be thousands of them, well armed, and completely in control of the town. When I first arrived in Greece, because I didn't have a company, I was supernumerary, and I was given a mixed bag of people who had been in detention, the sick, and whatnot. And I was put in an empty hospital on the main road from the seafront to Athens itself. On the first Sunday, just after we got on, there was some fighting, firing directed to us. We weren't armed, we weren't a military fighting unit, and it was quite alarming. And later that night, I think somebody remembered us and came and got us out of this, but it was a trying situation, because these people were mostly civilians, everybody armed to the hilt and just doing what damage they could. So we kept pretty quiet, kept our heads down until we were evacuated to the seafront. It then became apparent that there was real trouble, and the Leicesters by that time had arrived from our brigade, and they were given the port, Piraeus, as a base. We were then strung out along the sea front to link up with the road into Athens. The brigade that came, the 23rd Brigade, the only fighting brigade, was in the centre of Athens, and they were cut off. It meant any contact between ourselves and them meant we had to run the gauntlet for about 7 or 8 miles up a main road into Athens. So it wasn't an easy situation. The civilian population seemed to be armed and ready to do damage wherever they could, and it was really difficult to keep in order. They would advance with women in front of them.
You actually saw that?
Oh, yeah. It was. And when they got near enough, the women would disappear, and the armed soldiers would fire on our soldiers. And it was really awkward, because no way could you get the soldiers to fire these women. That was the first awkward situation. Eventually, we seemed to be reinforced with more troops. I don't remember who they were. But we were a bit more organized once we saw what the situation was.
So how did you deal with these ELAS tactics?
the situation in those early days was in fact chaotic, and the men were not very clear as to what was going on. Fighting, while women and children remained in the streets, went against the grain, and morale was frankly low.
Now, you're quoting there from a document.
No, that's mine. It's mine.
It's what you wrote at the time.
It might be in this other thing.
That's what you wrote at the time?
Yes.
Well, how did that low morale show itself?
Civilians. They were in a big city. And granted, the place where we were, Farallon, were the bigger houses. They were among civilians. Whilst some civilians were really kind to the troops and invited them into housing and food, there was a case where some of our troops were in a house. The people were friendly, and the Elas came during the night and took their weapons away, which of course shouldn't have happened, but so friendly were the people in the house. And there was then found by moving a bit of furniture, there was a hole, and a whole lot of communicating holes right through this street. You've got to remember that these people have been dominated by German troops. They had all sorts of ways of communicating with each other. And so here was a way for those who didn't want the British there of getting rid of them. In fact, they did march off one of our platoons into the hills and took their boots, took everything. That was because we thought we were friendly people who were in their houses and we were billeted there. So that was the lesson to be learned. So then we concentrated all our troops right on the seafront. There was only one road between us and the sea, and so we concentrated on that and built up blocks, and gradually, as more reinforcements came, not too many, we did some house clearing along the front to meet up with the port.
How did you go about that house clearing? Did you do any? Were you attached to a company, or were you still supernumerary?
Well, the roads were split up, and the company was up each one. We were looking for Elas soldiers or people who could hold a rifle, and we were spread around. But it was a very difficult job. But gradually, we took from the seafront, we took blocks of road, and we were making our way up towards the power station, which was still in the hands of the rebels. There was still a brigade of British troops in Athens, but of course they had so much on their hands they had to act as police, you know.
Did the men of the battalion have any sympathy with Elas at all at the start?
Not afterwards they found that they found these atrocities were going on. Oh, they lost all sympathy with them. But it was a very difficult situation. We were house to house street clearing, and eventually I think the Elas found they were not on a winning side and withdrew.
What were you actually doing during this period?
I've taken over a company.
Do you know which one?
A company.
But that was your old company?
Yes, I've taken over A company. After a while, at first I was with battalion headquarters because I hadn't had a company for a while. I was with battalion headquarters helping them to get settled in.
Did you have any trouble working with Worrell after your disagreements?
Yes, we were a bit cool. In fact, he at one stage he took me outside of the headquarters, and he was clearly nervous, and he didn't pick on the particular episodes that I'd be involved, but he thought I was being quite unfair to another company commander whom he had brought into the battalion when he met in South Africa. But that was just one of his needling things with me, and I didn't think that was a very helpful to me.
What, had you done anything to this company commander? Which one was it?
It was B Company. Mr. Laurie Stringer had Laurie Stringer, nice chap, but he had come, he'd been some official in South Africa with the government. He had come to join the battalion to get some war experience. He wasn't my type of chap, nor many of the others in the Durham. I think we'd all be together and gel together. And he was intent on picking some faults with me. And
what sort of thing were you arguing about?
Well, he was still pretending. He hadn't had much experience, and there were certain things we knew the men would get the right answer in the end, even if it didn't look, you know, very, very good. But we were fighting a war, and this was a civil war, really. And he was to criticise, and he'd been in government service, and there were two officials for us. He hadn't settled into our way. And he was a friend that the RCO had brought in, so I was given a lecture about my beliefs with Major Skinner. However, Major Skinner and I get on all right now, we're as different as chalk and cheese. But there was this thing about it.
So the things were bad, and then you went back to A Company.
Yeah.
And would you be actually leading street clearing there?
Yes.
I mean, it sounds a very difficult job. I mean, could you enlarge a bit more on the actual methods as a company commander?
Well, we eventually two tanks appeared for our use. Well, running down to the harbour front, the streets and streets of houses, bigger houses, not streets that we know, but lots of individual houses. And we were to start clearing these, and we were given a tank between to run up the streets.
Who was driving? I mean, from which unit?
I don't know.
They were just attached to you?
Yes, attached to us. But also, we were given some Greek sailors who spoke the language, and we were house clearing, because you must remember that during the German occupation, these people had made holes between houses and dug holes and then put furniture in front of them. So it was a rabbit warren, and we were found we were up against that because people escaped our neck. So we were clearing houses, and we got these weak sailors to help us.
Were there any casualties amongst the civilians? Or amongst the...
I can't remember anything except that they had these Greeks had a network, and obviously with the main Greeks, the householders were all right, but they didn't do anything on their own because they were relying upon the Greeks to get keep them supplied with some sort of food to then getting the food from the British. And so one had to be very careful. And we spread the soldiers, all right, we had people on guard, but they had to sleep somewhere and they were spread through the houses. And they found out from house to house, if they were house together, there were holes.
You mentioned
from the Germans. And on one occasion, a whole platoon disappeared.
Was that of your company?
No. And they had been marched away. This was another factor. Apart from what was happening outside, it was what was happening inside. So we just got to the stage where we knew we couldn't trust anybody. the household was there, of course, friendly, hoping they'd get some food and something they were really good.
Was there much actual firing going on?
Not in the, most of the instances. It was in the early days down on the front when we were trying to establish our positions. But then, of course, the ELAS, their own forces, decided they would drive us out. And there was a lot of street fighting. And I remember at one stage, we ultimately found out that the numbers were 300. Before I went to take up a company, General Morrow was away, Major Denny was looking after us, and I stepped in as second in command. And the Greeks were determined to drive us out. Our headquarters was a nice little house on the seafront, and they were to drive us out. They got right down to the house immediately behind us, and there were ultimately 300 of them with all sorts of weapons behind. Meanwhile, next door to battalion headquarters was a three-story building where we had cooks and auxiliaries in. So I had to go to headquarters, and I had to go into this house next door to organise the defence. Fortunately, it was a three-storey apartment with concrete stairs. And whilst they were attacking, I brought our troops to the back. They were firing from windows when they were getting casualties. And I was able to go up onto that roof. I collected what grenades I could. And these people were, it was just a rabble, a mob. They attacked the headquarters building. They didn't get to it because we had a flat roof on the building which overlooked. And so I collected all the grenades I could and the bodies I got them out there because there was a little more protection. And we would have a lull and let these people come over the wall, there was a wall, stream over the wall, let them get there, and then release our grenades, because we had two grenades and we've got an awful lot of casualties. They got to the bottom of the stairs of the subsidiary building, which housed the coops and their headquarters.
Where you were, yeah.
And so we drove them off and they didn't attempt that anymore. But that was before I took over the company. So by that time, it was decided that we would have to do some street clearing. It wasn't very nice. You didn't know who you had many. You were going through houses. You didn't know. They were genuine people. And they wanted to get rid of the, they just got rid of the Germans. And now these people, what they call the country, the ELAS, who were terrible people. They were brigands, in the whole thing. And they had taken over, and they weren't fussy what they did or what they did to the people. And the top of one of our troops was the electricity supply works, and our object was to recapture this because the city was without electricity. And so this was the house clearing we were doing, and we got a tank to work up between two sets of houses, and we used to get notes at night, beware, tonight we will take your tank. The tank wasn't allowed to fire from its bigger gun, and it was only used for small arm fire, it was only there threatening. We weren't allowed to fire into any of the houses, so we just had the tank made its way up the centre of the street, we were clearing houses over there. Until we got to the electricity works, and I remember going into the electricity works, I had taken over the company then, and these guerrillas were running all over the place, but we got it cleared, and we captured the electricity works, which was the first real thing we'd done another thing that came to our notice was the ELAS atrocities against civilians, and we were told of one well or deep grave where the locals would take you to see the bodies, and we were taken to this place, and sure enough, we didn't count them, but there were 30 bodies of civilians which the ELAS had the reward on vengeance on them for not supplying information on them, collaborating with them. So that was another thing that we found out.
So you started using the tanks to clear the road. Any other incidents you remember?
Each company had a street fighting with you when we did during the daytime, because somebody could guard it in the middle of the road while other people went in around the houses. And we got these Greek marines to help us, and they were allocated to the different companies working their way up from the seafront. But ultimately, came down those who were doing more damage.
In what way?
Well, this next time we have one or two little cases of raid and pillage, stealing. So we had to stop that. They were quite a nuisance. They were given free hand to help us, but we had to get rid of them. There was a lot of sniping going on from the houses, and then we got the order that we weren't to go into the houses. But when you get streets of houses with so many firing positions, so ultimately, having captured the electricity supply and put people around the guard, so it's not be, wasn't be taken, we then were put in a position of clearing the coast road down to the harbour where the Leicesters were.
Now, what one thing I wanted to ask was about whether it was a tense period with the sniping, and I believe Johnson got shot during this period. If you could tell us, you know.
Yes. We weren't allowed to go into houses unless it was an organised military action. We weren't allowed to go in just out of curiosity, otherwise we had to cover one another. And so when we were in street clearing, it was organised, and we would fairly well find somebody if they fired a shot. Naturally, they weren't just in all inhabitants in these streets, they were infiltrated by the ELAS. And it was a great pity that Frank Johnson, one of our officers, was killed by a stray shot just outside the house I was staying in. And so people were edgy, and you just didn't wander about the streets. So all the people were kind and asking, they didn't have much to offer, but they did ask them to go out. But there were those people who were glad to shoot.
Now, I want to move on there, because I think it's a confused period, I think, not only there, but in your memory a little. The next thing is, you actually had at one point to retake the Acropolis. You'd left it early on, and now you had to retake it. Could you tell me, I mean, that's an unusual thing to be asked to do. It's a tourist thing now, but could you tell us what you remember of that operation?
Yes, there were the communists, the ELAS, still had their flag flying. They were still occupying it, but it was a one-off operation as far as a military situation was, because you could have spent hours and hours with a few soldiers, but so we weren't worried about that until we retook the harbour, which was mostly the Leicesters, but we were supporting the approaches to it and clearing the approaches. And then, having found that, we had to clear these last few of the the Congress because they were being used as a fire. The flag was lying there, which was the thing when he won. And so my company was given
that,
the job.
That's A company.
Yes. There weren't too many, obviously, on the top. And so we assembled in a house with all the Acropolis, actually on the eastern side, but of course it drops sheer on the other side. And in this house were two youngish ladies who, when we were preparing to make the assault on the Acropolis, said, "Please do not destroy our Acropolis." And when we looked, we had Tommy guns, rifles, and a 2-inch mortar. We didn't think we were going to attend. Anyhow, they were very pleased to see us and wished us good luck. And then we advanced all the Acropolis, a full company, and we didn't have much trouble in taking a few. There weren't many.
Did they resist?
Yes, they were resisting. They were firing all the time. But there was any amount of cover. Well, they could see us. There were a lot of us. We had a company which, at that stage, would be 70 or 80 men.
Would you have used the mortar if there'd been more opposition? I mean, I'm thinking of the route.
The mortar was ideal if I was taking a class of instruction. All the 2-inch mortar was a nuisance for people carrying it. This was the ideal thing where it could project its bomb and come down behind something. That was the object of the 2-inch mortar. It was invented in the First World War so I could drop in trenches.
But did you use it against the Acropolis? I mean, would you have used it if there'd been more opposition?
Yes.
So this
was the ideal textbook situation.
So, ancient monument or not, you would have used it?
No, it wouldn't have done. It would have chipped. Well, there were plenty of chips out of the monument. So it wouldn't have done
any real damage. Did you fire much on the way up, yourselves?
Yes. It was more for Tommy guns. We get a spurt here, there, a spurt when you were going to advance, put a spurt where you thought one of those was to keep his head down and you moved on. So it was quite a, I say myself, it was quite a good operation. It could have been just by the textbook, and we took one or two of these prisoners. I think the others had some fancy way to get down, but otherwise they finished and dropped down. So we didn't capture that and took them down.
Was that pretty well the end of operations in Athens?
Yes.
And then the next thing was the move to Patras.
Yes.
Now, what do you recall of the period in Patras?
Well,
because there was a different situation there.
These Elas forces knew they weren't getting anywhere in Athens itself, so they thought we'd be in the important country and retreated towards Patras, where they had more forces waiting, but obviously they couldn't all be used in Athens. So they retreated, and we were given the job of going round. We were boarded onto landing ship troops, which, if you think of the Mediterranean or waters like this, nothing could have been further from it, just sort of peaceful. It was shocking. We were standing on the end in this troop, and everybody was violently ill.
The weather was rough.
Rough. And so we went right round Greece and hit the Corinth Canal at the top and landed at Patras. There was no opposition to our landing because the other enemy troops, there were our own troops were there to start with who hadn't been engaged, but we had to get down towards the Corinth Canal. So I think our brigadier give them fair warning what would happen if they didn't give up. So, whilst they didn't submit, they teared away. And so we went down the canal. I went to a place called Patras, and we occupied Patras, and that was really nice.
Now, from the last, didn't seem to give you much trouble at Patras.
No. Well, by that time, we had the HMS Ajax was in the just off the harbour with its guns, which were always seemed to be moving or not firing. And by that time, we had the situation well in hand. The troops, there was an Indian division in Patras that hadn't been used because the ELAS wanted to take the capital.
So the situation calmed down?
Yes.
And there was no actual fighting for you in Patras?
No. My liaison officer, the Greek liaison officer, stepped on the mine and was killed. He was our only casualty, unfortunately. But the minefielders were still around, and we had a very, very strong military service for him in their big church, where all the Greek soldiers came from, the army, and a monumental band. And one of the things about this,